Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And the Affordable Care Act's employer mandate may have to wait until 2015, but the individual mandate moves on. New York's health exchanges are expected to go live in October of this year, and if the Cuomo administration is to be believed, the exchanges will provide an immediate windfall for those residents shopping for individual health coverage, with premiums set to drop by an average of around 50%. Can it be true? Well, here to dig into the numbers are WNYC's healthcare reporter Fred Mogul and Elizabeth Benjamin. She's the vice president of health initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York and a big Obamacare advocate. Fred, hi. Elizabeth, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
So, Fred, the Cuomo administration has announced that the cost of health plans on these new exchanges in New York State are likely to fall by 50% next year, compared to individual plans on the market today. Is it really that simple?
It is not. You won't be surprised to find out. And there are some disputes about the 50% figure. We'll talk about those in a little bit, I think. But we have to understand, first of all, that the individual market now is prohibitively expensive. There's only about 17,000 people in the entire state on it. This will make it significantly less expensive, but it will still be expensive. Healthcare in New York is very expensive. But if you have 17,000 people and then an anticipated 1 million people going into it, we'll discuss that too, prices will come down, and they'll come down a lot.
What are some of the numbers you're talking about?
Well, so that's it. There's a lot of different policies, a lot of different variables. There's platinum, gold, silver, and bronze policies. You can be talking—
That's what they'll call them on the exchanges. Those are Obamacare terms.
Those are Obamacare terms. They mean different things in each state. But basically, at the platinum level, you pay more, you get more. You get more doctors, and you get a little lower deductible. You don't have to spend $500, $1,000, $2,000 out of pocket, your maximum out of pocket over the course of the year, your doctor's visits are less, but you pay more up front. On the other hand, a lot of people will be getting the silver and bronze plans. They'll pay much less up front. Their monthly charges will be in the low hundreds, a lot less than now. But they will have those out of pocket expenses. But if they don't use the doctor, if they don't go see doctors, they don't go to the hospitals, then they won't.
Right. So those are the cheapest high deductible plans. So Elizabeth, there was just a big study 2 weeks ago that got a lot of press, indicating an upward spike in health insurance premiums when the exchanges take effect. But that was a national projection. So is New York just different for some reason? Can both these things be true?
Both these things can be true. I'm not sure about that other study. And in fact, I think in California and Oregon, they are also seeing price declines. But nowhere stands to benefit more from the Affordable Care Act than New York State. And as Fred rightly pointed out, there's only 17,000 people left in the individual market. We have 2.7 million uninsured people. When the exchanges open up, individual insurance premiums, if you're out on the open market, uninsured person who doesn't have job-based coverage, buying insurance on your own, you face prices of $1,400 or $1,600 a month. Under the exchange, those prices range from $300 to $700 before financial assistance, and the vast majority of uninsured people in New York State are actually eligible for financial assistance, so they will be getting even less.
What's the mechanism, Elizabeth? Why would these same plans be so cheaper under the Obamacare exchanges than they are today on the open market?
Three things are happening at once. Number one, we have this thing called a health insurance exchange or a marketplace, a website that is standardizing products and regularizing the market in a way that has never happened before. Number two, you're putting a lot more people into the market for two reasons. Number one, you have the individual mandate, so people have to have coverage. Like you have to have health insurance, have to have car insurance to buy a car. You have to have health insurance to be a taxpayer in the United States now, starting January 1st. And number two, there is these financial assistance. So it's both carrots and sticks happening on individuals. So the third thing that's going to happen is we will have many, many more people in the pool buying coverage together. Mm-hmm. So we'll go from 17,000 people in the individual market up to around, they estimate, 615,000 people. Now, that's a lot of bargaining power. When you're buying as one of 615,000 people, prices are going to drop, and the insurance. And the third thing that's happening is more insurance carriers are coming in, and they understand there's going to be more of a market, and so they're dropping their prices. So it's an extraordinary thing. New York is particularly well positioned to benefit from this because we had so few people left in the individual market, and because we have so many uninsured people that stand to benefit from the setting up of these exchanges.
And maybe, Fred, also because New York State already requires insurance plans to have a lot of these mandatory benefits that are covered under Obamacare. In fact, the conservative healthcare columnist Ovik Roy of Forbes tweeted this out, or I guess he wrote a column, basically saying that premiums were already so high in New York that they had nowhere to go but down. And he goes on to say that while healthcare costs in New York and some other states with high premiums will see a reduction under the Affordable Care Act, it'll still have the effect of raising healthcare costs in states that had lower premiums and lower requirements, like California, he cites, thus bringing the cost of health care up overall across the country. Fair point?
Oh, absolutely. Now, we, in many regards, had Obamacare already prior to Obamacare, before anyone ever thought about that. What we didn't have was what Massachusetts has had and what now the rest of the country will have. We didn't have an individual mandate. So our insurers were forced to cover everyone regardless of age, regardless of pre-existing conditions, and they couldn't charge more if you were had cancer or pregnant. And so healthy people stayed out, sick people went in, and that's why those rates were so high and that's why so few people were in. That's called adverse selection. Good people stay, you know, healthy people stay away. Now with the individual mandate, everyone's supposed to go in. That pool skyrockets, as Elizabeth just said, and so it's a much bigger group. But in states where insurers could discriminate before, in Texas and frankly most of the country, the individual market wasn't necessarily great and vibrant and a great bargain, but it did keep away cancer patients. And now in Texas, cancer patients will be charged the same as young healthy patients. And so in Texas, it will go up quite a bit.
My guests, WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul and Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society, as we talk about Obamacare on the way, including Governor Cuomo's new projection that the cost for an individual health insurance policy will go down by an average of about 50% compared to today once these exchanges are set up. Some people are calling in with questions. And one second, Elizabeth, I want to get some listener questions in here. And folks, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And here's a skeptic of the program, Scott in Soho. Scott, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
I was just curious. Now, you just mentioned that you're going to use your leverage with these greater numbers to get cheaper pricing and things like that. And the government doesn't exactly have a good history of negotiating cheaper prices with companies. I mean, if you look at the prescription drug program, we don't get a discount there. I mean, you look at some of the things like even in the citywide, like doing the time stamp program that Bloomberg did. It was $400 million over budget. I mean, how do you expect to do that? Why is this any different? Mm-hmm. And especially with a bill that nobody's actually read, because it's except the people that actually crafted it.
Well, let's stay on the issue of why would it work any differently from the prescription drug plan, Medicare Part D, which he says doesn't seem to have brought down prescription drug prices, Elizabeth.
Well, we already have the proof that it has worked. I mean, the prices were $1,400 yesterday. The rates were announced both inside and outside the health insurance exchange. They'll be anywhere from $300 to $700. So we've already seen a 50% decline. So the government's bargaining power did work. Going back to Fred's point about Texas, you know, insurance prices will go down for sick people in Texas and older people in Texas. They will go up for younger and healthier people. So it's a mixed bag. It isn't that everybody will be paying more in Texas. Some people will be paying more. Some people will be paying less. The point of the Affordable Care Act is to make it fair that everyone is paying the same.
Lisa in Brooklyn Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Brian. It's possible that my question was just answered while I was talking to your screener. I apparently am one of the 17,000 who's an individual subscriber. I didn't realize I was such a rare bird. So my question is, are my rates on my plan automatically going to go down, or will I have to change plans in order to get one of these lower rates?
Fred, do you know the answer?
Well, Lisa, tell me, first of all, roughly how much do you pay a month? And tell me what your deductible is. And if you had to...
I don't have a deductible. I am paying through HIP, which has now merged with GHI as part of Emblem Health, though it's not a merger for the individual subscribers. And I'm paying somewhere around $1,600 a month. I'm told that my plan is not offered anymore and is kind of their highest level.
Right. So if it's their highest level, we can call it platinum. You'll have to go in and see how the offerings from HIP or Emblem and the other companies compare to what you have been getting. But I'm looking at the rates now for the platinum things, and they range from roughly the 400s into the low 900s. So, you know, you'll have to see what the variables
are. So could someone like Lisa just drop the individual coverage that she has now and move on to the exchanges once this Obamacare exchange plan kicks in New York in October?
Absolutely. Almost anyone could. Not anyone could qualify for a federal subsidy. That's
right.
That's where you get the real savings is frankly, you know, the poorer you are appropriately,
well,
the greater savings.
Additional savings. But you were citing a price per month that was much cheaper, even for an unsubsidized individual, than what Lisa says she's paying now.
Right. So the individual market in New York, the 17,000 customers, will basically go into the exchange. They may or may not get a subsidy, but that's where the action is. And you know, frankly, whatever you think of the politics and the ideology and the underlying pinnings and whether the 50% rate is correct or not, you can, if you're a capitalist, you can just look at the fact that 17 companies are betting that there'll be enough new customers and they want a piece of that action. A lot of their customers will have, you know, help in their pocketbook from the federal government, but they want that, and they're bidding on it, and that's why they're driving these prices down.
Elizabeth, how sustainable?
Just one more thing for Lisa. If you have out-of-network coverage, we did grandfather out-of-network coverage for those. There's another – of the 17,000, there's 3,000 more people that have special out-of-network coverage. And if you have that coverage, you will be able to keep out-of-network coverage. So, you know, you can call our hotline and we can walk you through that process. But you should be protected to getting very, very comparable or identical coverage as you have now.
Joe and Old Beth Page on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I'm glad I was able to get through at my work desk.
I won't tell your boss.
I'm a progressive. I really believed in single payer for a long, long time. And I find myself defending Obamacare to people who are working for a living and are paying for their employer sort of subsidized health care. And in my case, I'm paying quite a bit for my employer-based health care, and I don't know how this is going to affect people like me.
So are you an employee or an employer?
I'm an employee.
Right. So
and I'm thinking, is there any way that I could drop my very expensive plan, even though my employer does, you know, put a little bit towards it, because I'm paying almost $300 a week for a family plan.
And that's just your contribution, and your employer covers the majority,
and that's
right?
High deductible. It's $50 to go to a specialist.
So let me get you an answer, Joe. And Elizabeth, this is such a fascinating question for me because it dovetails with the other news about Obamacare, which is that the Obama administration is delaying the employer mandate for a year. So with this temptation of these cheaper policies bought by individuals, you hear it in Joe's call from somebody who is covered at work. Maybe I'm better off leaving my employer coverage and going and purchasing on the open market. So maybe a lot of employers are going to decide, maybe we're all better off in our companies if I drop my employer coverage, give my employers, sort of a bonus to the effect of what we're paying now for the company plans, and let them go to the exchanges. Do you anticipate a lot of that in New York, given what we just heard?
Well, probably not. Let me tell you why. Right now, 95% of employers with more than 50 employees already offer coverage and are likely to continue to do so because they believe it keeps, you know, it's good for retention and employee retention and whatnot. The thing that's interesting about Joe's question is if he works for an employer with less than 50 employees, that employer has a decision to make, because if his or her employees are lower waged and they have a smaller number of employees, the employer itself could be up to eligible for up to a 50% tax credit. In other words, 50% of the cost of them offering coverage could be paid for by the government. So that's a huge carrot for the employer to go ahead and offer coverage and get that big tax credit, try to build up retention and good employees in the workforce.
Right.
On the other hand, those small employees have no mandate. There is no stick on any employer, in fact, in the country. So it may be easier for them just to drop coverage and have their employees go in on their own.
But Joe wants
he's
to
not
leave.
Allowed to just drop his own coverage and go in. If he has a credible offer of coverage, he can't just say, oh, I'm ditching my offer of employer coverage, unless it's over 9% of his income. So there's a bunch of rules. They should call us, you know, to
So he's not allowed. People like Joe are not allowed to walk away from their employer plans if they think they're going to get a better deal on the individual exchanges, Fred?
Well, Elizabeth, I wanted to ask you, because can't he go into the exchange even with that situation? He just wouldn't qualify for a subsidy. He could still potentially purchase on the exchange, or he couldn't purchase on the exchange at all.
He would purchase off the exchange. I believe he's not allowed. Well, that's a good question.
I think he could purchase on the exchange. He just wouldn't qualify for a subsidy.
Well, it wouldn't matter because the products are the identical off and on the exchange pricing.
I smell a follow-up segment coming on the show in a few days.
Thank you, Fred. I'm not quite sure.
To clear up this point. One more call. Paige in Park Slope. You're on WNYC. Hi, Paige. Oops, Paige disappeared. Paige's question, and then we're going to be out of time, was if her income fluctuates from year to year, which she says it does, then does her subsidy from the federal government fluctuate from year to year if she's buying Obamacare policies on the exchanges? Fred, very briefly.
I believe so, because I think you qualify annually. Elizabeth could maybe clear. Plug in your income. It's a projection, because it's what you anticipate getting in the next year, and then it's corrected after the fact, like a lot of things are in the tax world.
All right. And
so you'll either get a credit or a penalty at the end of a year and a quarter later.
This is the beginning, not the end, of this conversation, obviously, as all of this will actually kick in beginning October 1st. So, folks, we will be covering it. We are planning to crowdsource your experiences with Obamacare exchanges once October 1st comes. So stay with us for a lot more coverage and your input on all of this. And we thank for today Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York, and WNYC's healthcare reporter, Fred Mogul. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye. Thank you.